With Renault, official car partner of the GAA, driving passion for sport and communities throughout Ireland and abroad.
We may not be able to get in on the sporting action we're used to, but we can get in on some exclusive offers from Renault. To celebrate their second year as official car partner of the GAA, Renault is offering a range of special offers on their new and used vehicles, exclusive to all GAA club members. So now you can take home the win right to your door. Check out Renault.ie/JA to find out more.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on,
Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Morning, folks. A bit of a better morning this morning. You're very welcome along to the Irish Examiner Hurling podcast of a Thursday morning. We got shifted this week. Larry, could you shed some light there on why we got shifted to a Thursday instead of our usual Monday slot? Would there be anything about the accent there, boy?
Apparently there's a football match on. They're on about it all week.
Mark Keane, he was playing with you.
He's played with us. Up the road for me in Mitch's town. But yeah. Waffle try, wouldn't it, watching that shite on Sunday?
Not at all, as it was. To me, it was a fantastic. We were 8 years and 81 minutes waiting for that goal, to be honest. With a tidy Murphy, he'll never be held to begin after it.
Come here, whatever about, we have Brian Hogan on the line, obviously, and we know Hoagie doesn't watch football. Landers, you don't watch football, do you?
I tell you now, Della, I definitely watched that match, and I can tell you, because once it got close... Did you see the thing out in WhatsApp there of the Kerry fella and he shouting at the television and there were a couple of points up? By God, the man, poor man, he must have had nearly a heart attack. But I mean, we were the same at home now. The three lads are sitting there watching, jumping up and down with the ball and into the net. So it was a bit like a Seamus Darby goal back in, was that 85 against Kerry, stopping them for the five in a row.
It was fantastic.
But and your old buddy, Pat Mull, did you hear him on the commentary in 103 as well?
Unbelievable. Like, Pat Mull lost his voice. That's about his fourth time this year losing his voice.
Yeah, he got a bit excited.
And who's your man, Mark? Who's your man who's jumping up and Finney Mac. Down and said...
Yeah, that's Finney Mac from Glenrothes.
Come here, have another look now at that WhatsApp, right, of Finney Mac jumping up and down, right? And there's two lads walking away in the background, right? In the press box. And... he hung himself on a WhatsApp page that I'm on with him, but it's Dara O'Shea and Mark O'Shea and Mark hung himself. He's looking in the background. And I would know where would I have noticed it, right? But right. There's Dara and Mark, and Mark is about to put the hood up to get out of there as fast as he could, like.
Again.
Anyway, why are we wasting valuable time talking about football? Like, but I suppose I nearly fancy Tip of a chance of doing the double now to where that match went.
Yeah, well, everybody's talking about the double down this way now, and I don't know, is it the All-Irelands or is it actually just the victories over Tip over the next couple of weekends? But it's a step in the right, but it's great for the footballers now. I'd have to say they have endured some torture for the last 8 years to the hands of Kerry. So if there's a way to win them, that's the way to win them and give them no opportunity to get back into it. Bob was kicked out, game was over. Thanks very much. Move on.
Hoagie, it was a bit like, sorry to remind you now, I think it was 2004. Jacobs got the goal?
Yeah, 2004 Leicester semi-final.
Like, there wasn't even time for the puck out, like, was there?
No, there wasn't. Thanks for that one, Dale.
The biggest image of that was Cody collapsing behind the goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, down his hands and knees. It wasn't too often he's no. crestfallen in a game like that, but yeah, I remember it well. And you can see, I mean, Noel Hickey and Tommy, and you could just see him all, you know, if you watch the footage where I think, and Peter was blocked down, I think it was, and just fall to the ground. That's it. Get the new game up, time up, and it's a killer.
Jeez. Yeah, well, someone said to me, Jim Keelty used to be involved when I joined the Dubs, and he was saying it's the only way to beat him because he'd been involved in Wexford that year.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, no problem, Jim. We'll organise that, like, that we'll wait for 3 minutes into injury time and we'll block down Noel Hickey or Peter Barry and we'll get a goal and we'll get off. Well, no bother, Jim.
But the funny thing is that you look back on that instant, you know, and like the football match, you know, you look back on that last minute goal, but like the problems were throughout the match. It comes down to that last minute piece of magic. But it wasn't just that one piece that cost us the match back then. It was there's the issues around not dealing with their puck outs throughout the whole first half, you know, and the movement that they brought. And I'm sure Kerry will look at it and say, well, not really bringing the match to Cork. They, you know, the match was played in Cork's terms. Beck, all I know about football, but I can tell you that much anyway from looking at it.
You know, and we just want to say to Peter Keane, get well soon, Peter, falling off the top of
Carrantool.
Jesus, like, Peter, would you go out to the pub for 2 or 3 days? Of course, they're locked. TJ, he can't go for a few beers in a snug somewhere.
That's penance, isn't it? I mean, Carrantool, you don't have to get in bed by Cork, you know?
I'd say they drove him to the butt of it in Kerry and said, get up, you have to lose the Cork.
Probably the only place you'll go for a bit of peace and quiet without having to talk about the match.
Imagine, and he's a supermarket there, and imagine inside the counter there Monday morning. How are you doing? Do you want a lotto?
You know what Paddy O'Shea said about those Kerry people, don't you?
Yeah, the supporters, yeah, we won't. We have good Kerry hurling listeners there, Les, and there. I see they're nearly favourites now to win the Christy Ring, so hopefully the Kerry people get behind the hurlers now. Not the Christy Ring, jeez, they'll shoot me, the Joe McDonough. And a bit of debate about that, actually. If they win it, they'll be going into the Leinster Championship. And why not Munster? And, you know, it's a funny one. But look, anyway, lads, we'd have a quick look back. They shoved us out to Thursday, so it's not as fresh in our memories. But, Mark, your lambasting of the Cork hurlers and management and Cork hurling people in general seem to have done the trick against Dublin.
Is it my lambasting alone? Well, I suppose.
I believe the podcast was played. The last 20 minutes of the podcast was played in the dressing room.
Right. Well. Okay. Well, it's a fright to God that if they wait for the podcast to get the players up for a match that should have been up for a week previous, on Ring's 100th anniversary. But anyway, I suppose we got the response that we required. You know, I suppose the three or four lads that I would have said to you, Anthony. You know, Rob Downey, Mark Coleman, Seamus Hernady, and Tim O'Mahony. I asked for, you know, that they are the leaders in that team, along maybe with Bill Cooper in the background as well. You know what Bill is going to give you. I thought all those four lads were magnificent. And then you throw in, I suppose, the likes of Robbie Flynn and Luke Mead and Colm Spillane, Jack O'Connor, Decky Dalton, the five changes. Every one of them five contributed to the team. And it's a remarkable turnaround in the space of a week. But the big thing for me, Anthony, is the attitude of the players and how they bring that attitude to the game. And it's all out attack. And if they can do that on a consistent basis, there's no reason why Cork can't be competitive. And that's all. And all I was doing was airing with 99% of people in Cork. That team against Waterford didn't show the required spirit and leadership and dedication that we would expect from any team wearing the red and white jersey. I'm glad that they did bring it to the table the last day against Dublin. And of course, obviously, Anthony, we'll be talking about in a minute. The biggest thing now is, can they find a consistency for the next day against Tipperary? That is the biggest question. So, lads, one swallow doesn't make a summer. And that's what I'd be reiterating this week now, is that even when we knew we were through, everybody was wondering, what is the best draw? Do you want Clare? Do you want Wexford and Tip? And you know, deep down, and it was TJ actually said it the last day, you felt that Dublin was the good draw for Cork, TJ, because you felt they wouldn't be complacent against them because they played very well against Tipperary or against Kilkenny, and I think you were right. And I think the Tipperary game is exactly what this present Cork team want. They really want to look to the challenge of Tipperary, I would suggest.
The one thing, Mark, looking ahead now, and like, Jesus, I mean, the injection of pace with Robbie O'Flynn and Jack O'Connor was huge. But TJ, did you get as much rain as we got in West Clare yesterday?
We got an absolute deluge of it here, yes. So
come here to Gaelic Grounds.
Yeah, it's been very little games in it, Dello. So I think
well, sure, the football was there last weekend, like. They went extra time on Monday.
That's true, actually. But the pitches in general look good. So I think the day, or maybe the weather on the day, might be as big a factor as the actual pitch itself. Sometimes, as you know, they're there on the Gaelic Grounds, the stand side underneath the stand there can get softer, right? But I don't know. But I was impressed with Cork myself. I thought the changes they made definitely worked. I was fierce impressed with Luke Mead on the middle of the field. But more so, Mark, I was impressed with their use of the ball. Now, I know Dublin, I think, like, it was impossible with Sky trying to work out formations because they shared very little. It looked like as if Dublin didn't start with a sweeper, but then after the goal, they jumped into it.
Right.
Cork were prepared for that, right? And they're used to the ball and they get their head up every single time. And they didn't allow the sweeper to control the game. The same, like what they did against Waterford, really, for a team with the intelligence around the setup, as I said, for a Tidy Bourke. It was criminal for a Cork team, and they didn't make the same mistake again. So they did learn, and the changes did work. So overall, I was impressed. Dublin, on the other hand, I don't know, you would have a better insight as to the actual personnel. I was surprised they moved O'Donnell to six. That looked like kind of a strange move. Their backline didn't really look comfortable. They looked open a lot of the time behind their shape, and they were jumping in and out of sweepers. It's easy to be critical when a team loses, but I just don't know where they were at. And even if you ask me today, where to for Dublin now, it's a tricky one. But on the day, Cork were deserving winners, agreed the changes worked, but I thought their style of play and their use of the ball was significantly better, Mark.
Mark Coleman just took over the game, right? His amount of possessions in the first half were up around 25. And they left him go. Like, I couldn't understand how Dublin left. Like, to me, if you're in charge of the team, you mark the sweeper and you force somebody else, not as good a hurler or a stylish a hurler on the ball. And they just left him dictate the whole run of the game. That, for me, was very surprising. And in fairness to Dublin, they came, I think, with what they felt was their best 15 because they picked Jermaine Ronan Hayes and Dillon from the start, and they got very, very little from two of them. Now, Dillon probably should have got a penalty, maybe could have got it, but struck the ball or tried to strike it a bit too early after catching a great ball on the edge of the square. If he stood up and tried to take a step and maybe kick it into the net, or like when he threw it up, Sean O'Donoghue, in fairness, some kind of knocked him off with it and the opportunity. But he was very poor in comparison. And like, here's the psychology of starting a fella or leaving a fella on the line. And, you know, it's amazing how, and like, I think you'll have to look at the Conor Lehan situation. I would have felt the Cork selectors maybe dragged Decky Dalton a bit early because I thought Dalton played very well, and the experience he would have gathered from staying on for another 15 or 20 minutes would have been a help to him. But Conor didn't shoot the lights out when he came on, which was really disappointing. And Cork will need something from Conor, I think, against Tipperary on Sunday. But, you know, overall, TJ, yeah. I just wonder about Dublin, the three matches in 15 days. They looked a bit leggy to me now. And Cork had a lot of pace and used the ball great, but I just thought Dublin were a little bit leggy.
Yeah, I don't know about the leggy thing, Huggy. Like, Jesus, I'm not saying no, but just in 13 there, when we drew G, and then the five matches in a row, and I heard Mick Carton on another podcast there talking about it, and he said, like, it's lovely, like, he says, because hardly no training in between, you know, a light session on Tuesday, a bit of a chat. Like, is it an excuse, like, three matches in a row? I mean, the Laois match was relatively handy for them on the day they beat Laois.
I don't know. I mean, looking at that Dublin side, I can't see the fatigue being a major issue. You know, there's a lot of young players, you know, the age profile of that team, you know, Donal Burks and all these guys and O'Donnell's and these guys, it's not like they're 30 plus, you know, and they've been on the road for a number of years. And, you know, say like us in 2013, you know, when we picked up a couple of injuries, I don't see that as a major. I think what the lads were saying in terms of Dublin just didn't seem to be kind of clear in terms of what they were trying to do. For me anyway, looking on, you know, and moving, making the changes. Like, to me, Owen O'Donnell is the best fullback or one of the best fullbacks in the country. Moving him out to centre back was a strange decision. And, you know, just a few things like that, it just didn't make sense to be honest. But one point I was going to make, I think Mark touched on it as well, was Decky Dalton, a full forward. Like, he's a guy you would have seen a fair bit of, you know, at the club and, you know, coming in and out of Cork over the last couple of years. And I think he's the type of player that Cork have been missing. You know, Cork, in terms of stick hurlers and just ability to make the ball talk, is unquestioned. You know, you can see it both at the club level and with Cork on the days when they are in full flow. But there are times in matches, particularly in championship matches, where that's not going to happen, you know, and you're going to have to grind it out. You're going to have to, you know, dig out a hard ball. And if you look at the teams who are the real contenders this year, if you look at Limerick and they've got Galan inside, you know, you look at Galway with Conor Whelan inside, you look at Kilkenny with Colin Fellney inside, they've all got this one guy who's capable of sitting on the edge of the square, tying up two defenders, an outlet. You know, yet you're playing the ball through the line, but where does the stage in the match where your backs are to the wall? You've got that direct outlet. You can play a ball into one of those guys, and they'll either win primary possession and feed it off to the runners coming through, or at least at the minimum, they'll hold it in there. They're a physical presence. They'll hold it. They'll keep it. They'll kill the ball for a couple of seconds, given the time for their support runners to come in. And I think the likes of Decky Dalton there for Cork, you know, absolutely, with O'Connor around him with all the pace and that. But you do need that kind of physical presence in there. And I totally agree with Mark. I think I would have left him on. You know, the more game time, the more experience he gets at that level. You know, he's the kind of the style of player. You know, for years, probably Shamie Harnedy was the main primary ball winner there. You know, and they have a guy. You know, he's abrasive. You know, he's direct. He'll go straight at you. You know, and he doesn't mind the physical element of it. So,
and that kind Brian, of... Brian, wasn't it incredible that Nolan came out and met him right on the meet, and he was moving. And yeah. Nolan landed on the ground. It didn't knock a tut out of Dickie and have the ball blocked out. And he still had the presence of mind to knock it in like on the ground. And that was 20 yards out at the same time. But what I was more impressed with as well, Brian, is the fact that he chased down Denny Sutcliffe on a ball that he was 25 yards behind him.
Yeah.
And he got there. And in the first half as well, he chased somebody out over the Ryan Stan side and got in a flick that broke the helmet and he went over. Like, we haven't forwards that have been doing that. And he has brought, that is something else he has brought to it. That walk rate, and you said about keeping the ball inside. And if we have six forwards that could do that and would do that man for man for each other, we'd have serious options then. And all the supporters, that's exactly what they want to see, is what Dalton brought to the game. And I was just, it begs the question as to why he wasn't started against Waterford. And I think, you know, in the space of a week, the five new players, and we know that Robbie O'Flynn wasn't available because of suspension. Cullum Spillane was injured, obviously, after the county final. He has come through that. But like the injection of the youth and a bit of freedom, I think the players responded and the team responded to the five new players big time.
Yeah, and not to like say that one player will change everything or two players, you know, are going to change everything. But you're right that like I've played against Sutcliffe and Dale O'Hull Bouchford, like that guy is some speed merchant, you know, like trying making up ground on him when he's in full flight is fair going. So when you're talking about the likes of O'Connor and these guys with pace, Dalton's no slouch either, you know, and sometimes a play like that is worth more than a score. Because what it does is, you know, maybe that doesn't come naturally to guys around them. But when they see a guy making up 40 yards and diving full length and making a hook, all of a sudden it kind of goes, Jesus, I need to put myself about a bit more. And I think, as you said, bringing that to the adding that to their game. Yeah. I mean, Brian would have always said, like, you know, you win the battles first, the hurling will take care of itself. You know, you can make the ball talk, but you need to do the basics first. And once you do that, the hurling will look after itself. And I think sometimes maybe Cork are guilty of going out to try and hurl first without, you know, earning the right to hurl, if you get me. Those kind of moments are huge. And as I mentioned, the other players that I mentioned there as well, they're all the players as defenders. You're going, oh, Christ, you're marking this lad. He's going to be all over you. He's going to be making life, you know, a nightmare for you for the hour, you know. And I think they're huge players, you know, for any team that's going to be serious about winning something.
TJ, you did. That's one of the things that you'd have heard said from maybe good managers over the years, that like, even if it's not in the scoreboard, lads, set the tone. You know, you mightn't get 1-2 early on or 5 quick points, but you'd be setting the tone, winning your position, laying down markers, and normally they kick into play as the game develops.
Yeah, and in fairness to Luke Mead, one of the guys who started, like, from the word go, he just bounced onto a ball, made a statement. I think he just scored on the board 10 seconds in. So that was a statement made. On the opposite side then for Dublin, right, they put no real pressure on the Cork puck out. We were potentially looking at a Cork team that was delicate after making changes. The last thing Dublin wanted to do was give them easy possession or soft possession or soft wins in the puck out. And like Mark said there, when you give Mark Coleman, a player of that standard, like 30 possessions, an easy ball, right? They're going to hurt you at some stage. You can't get it. And that kind of feeds into the work rate of your six forwards. It's a prerequisite of today's modern game that your six forwards work their socks off when they lose the ball. If that doesn't happen, giving handy ball to a good opposition backline, they will eventually hurt you. And I suppose that is a challenge, Mark, for Cork this weekend. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen. Is to get, it's not so much the best 15 or the best team, it's the right team, right? So that's kind of the key message for them heading into Tipperary. Like, what they picked the last day definitely worked for Dublin. So the challenge for them this week now is, what is the best team for Cork to play this weekend?
Yeah, and like, because the sweeper system worked with Matt Coleman last weekend, there's going to be a bit of cat and mouse in the first 10 minutes the next day to see what happens, because like, go back to the All-Ireland final last year when Richie Hogan was sent off. After that, the whole game turned to Tipperary's favour because their use of the extra man and their use of the ball was excellent. If you give that TEP team an extra man in the defence around the field, They are very good at pinging the players and finding and working the ball through the lines. They won't give away a possession. So Cork will have a lot of, I'd say, soul searching as to what, like, they probably will think their best thing now is to go with a sweeper, but it may not be the best thing to go against this particular team in Tipperary. I think you're going to have to run at them. But if you give them an extra man in the back, there's no better lads to be playing the ball around themselves. So I'd say there could be a couple of switch-ups now between in the game on Sunday against Tipperary. I just, it's a real soul searcher for this current management and players now as to what the best thing to do is on Sunday. But I think that they may have two options, TJ, going into it, to play with the sweeper and play without the sweeper. But if they bring the enthusiasm, the work rate, the attitude to the game, at least we'll be in the game and we'll be competitive. And you can, as the game progresses then over 70 minutes, you can adapt and change as it goes. But, you know, there's a lot of searching questions to come between at the weekend, you know?
Yeah, and there's a small matter, or two small matters, of the Munster final and Leinster final on as well, like, besides these qualifiers and Cork-isms and all this. We give the footballers there the first 6 or 7 minutes. I think there's people around the country. I will tell you one thing, Landers, that my buddy Colin Higgy Higgins had 20 quid on Decky Dalton to score the first goal. 10-1. He says Landers knows his stuff, Della. A picture of the doc. Sorry, Higgy, you know, if the girlfriend didn't know about you winning the money, but she'll know now what you hear. But yeah, well, let's look, obviously I do think, TJ, like, the rain, I know there was an 8 a.m. inspection this morning for Clonmel races. I don't know if it'll pass it or not, but well, it's not too far from Thurles at the same time, Clonmel, and I know it does get a bit soft at the field. I'd be more there now in the course and in the racing, but I just think, lads, we've been blessed with the weather up to this, because even the bad day with Limerick and Tip, Páirc Uí Chaoimh is so good, the surface, you know, it's like Croagh Park now, like, and I just think with the Munster Championship, I think the Munster Council maybe should have come out and said at the start of the year, lads, even if Cork are in it, that the Munster final is going to be played in Páirc Uí Chaoimh because of the year, you know, and the lateness of the unique year we're in. And like, look at the Leinster Championship, every game in Croagh Park. Like, I just think we erred on that. And I'd even be worried for what we all know is, even Hoagie'd admit this, like, everyone loves playing in Thurles. You know, it's just in the summertime, it's the place to play. And like, I just think Thurles could even be heavy with that rain that fell yesterday. And will it affect the Munster final? I'm on duty now for the Munster final. I think it could affect it. And did we make a mistake by not saying that our showpiece game in Munster should have been on in Páirc Uí Chaoimh?
For me, Dale, like, we've been saying it all along this year, the surface in Páirc Uí Chaoimh is magnificent. And we saw the hurling match, Tip and Limerick, and we saw the football match, Cork and Kerry. The deluge of rain that fell in both of those games, and there wasn't an ounce of water visible on the pitch. Now, the one thing that I would say after the game is that a lot of the players were cramping, and I don't know whether that was the surface is hard. No, they were cramping after the Cork and Dublin game as well, but it's certainly, when you read all the interviews from the managers, there's a lot of players are cramping at the moment. But in general, the pitch is magnificent in Cork. I was a bit disappointed. And look, Cork would prefer to play in Tullis. They'll always say that. The lads will always say that. But I would have felt that the pitch, the standard of the field, and like, for supporters, some counties don't like coming to Cork because of where the pitch is situated and traffic and travel and all that kind of stuff. But in the year that's in it, when there's no supporters, I would have got your best pitch available to me. And it's not being a Cork person. It's actually the best field in terms of the surface and the way the weather is going at the moment. Certainly, I would have picked Páirc Uí Chaoimh over all the other pitches.
It looks the best pitch now, Dale. But I suppose, being non-believers and not believing Cork people for years and years and years, we probably needed to see it in these couple of games before we actually believed them. But I think, to be fair to both Limerick and Thurles now, right, the games that I've seen, the clips, the pitches did look very well. Yes, this week is wet, and the forecast there is that today is drying a bit and tomorrow's a bit wet. I don't know. I'd be kind of more, I think the cold, maybe, or the temperature's dropping and stuff, maybe the kind of slitter not travelling as far, maybe more of a factor. So I don't know. I wouldn't be concerned about this weekend as much as what you're saying, Dale.
Yeah, I just would, TJ, because I just think it's natural soil Whereas there's no way Crow Park or Páirc Cliath is natural grass. Yeah. No, it's not. It's not. I've been on it there. The first match, it was the 1st of February, Cork and Tip in the league.
Yeah.
Remember the first night, Mac?
Unreal. So the ball was scoreline
that night and the ball brilliant. Moving and Thurles, like, and they'll shoot me in Thurles on Sunday when they see me if they hear this. Like, but like Thurles is brilliant, sure. I mean, we all love going to Thurles. It's just something about it. Put the hair standing in the back of your head, the bit that we have. And like, it's just, I for me, it was like, there's no doubt why, you know, like Clare and Wexford's in Port Laois, you know, the Gaelic grounds, Thurles, and yet the Leinster final's in Croke Park. And for me, the best chance of a great game is in Croke Park. Like, I think just surface wise. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think
you'd love it, like Thurles and the Gaelic grounds in Port Laois. You'll be like me.
I love playing Thurles. You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's probably the one stadium or pitch in the country that is a natural surface, but is always in, you know, a bit like Lona Park, you know, and one or two other grounds where they're always in really good condition, but they're natural surfaces as opposed to, say, Croke Park, which, you know yourself, it's more sand-based. It's you know, the year that's in it, if they had said, look, all Munster matches in Páirc Cliath and all Leinster Championship matches in Croke Park, you've kind of got 11 playing field there because the potential conditions and the weather conditions, etc. But, you know, coming back to TJ's point, I think that the bigger impact is whatever the weather will be on the day. You know, I think that's the real impact. You know, if you think back to club matches at this time of year, that, you know, in a normal year, you'd be looking at club matches at this time of year, and geez, there could be some woeful mud baths, you know, down in regional grounds or local grounds. Whereas, I don't think you could. There's enough rain in the sky, you know, to see a mud bath in Croke Park or in Páirc Cliath because of the way the pitches are made now, you know. So, yeah, I'd probably agree with you, Dale. I think for the year that was in it, I probably would have just kept it simple, you know, and kept the venues consistent. But
yeah, I think Max's point is well made about Páirc Cliath as well. The logistics of getting into Páirc Cliath can be a headache for teams. Oh, yes. You know, getting there early and basing yourself somewhere to get in. But this year, it was no issue. So I think we could have gone with that for the year that's in it, and especially with Cork in the back door as well. Like, it wouldn't have been... Like Waterford and Limerick, it would have been a natural, neutral spot to go to. Les, we better get on to the game. I'm conscious a few of you, there's a fella trying to sell a horse and there's another lad has to go back to work. TJ, we've no real issues and Larry's at work. Les, the game, Waterford, do we know what to make of him after the Cork game? I definitely, having come across him at underage, I saw signs of the Liam Cahill stamp on the Waterford team, in that there was more aggression against Cork than I've seen in Waterford for a while. And it was a significant, like, they didn't win a game in the round robin, Les, in the last two seasons of the start, like there's two seasons of round robin in Munster, didn't win a game. It was a big statement, like, wasn't it? And like, I just thought there was more edge to them than I've seen in a while.
Yeah. Well, like, I was at the National League game at the start of the year in February where they played Cork, and they sent out a signal that day when they were short five or six of their, we'll say, well-known players. And I think they carried that form, Anthony, right through to the championship match against Cork. Now, look, it's well documented at this stage that Cork weren't good on the day, but Waterford were worthy winners and they could have won by more than they actually won on the day, because they missed an awful lot of opportunities. But, you know, we're all well aware of, we say, Tadhg Burke, Jamie Barron, Austin Gleeson, but then Chuck Hallam Nines and Prunty in on top of it. Desi Hutchinson looks sharp enough, but I think there could be a little bit more, and we'd see a bit more from him now this weekend against Limerick. Now, I think they're hopping out of their skin, which is probably the best thing for them, is that they're not going to give any Limerick men any opportunity to play through the lines. And again, here we go now. Caelum Lyons is going to be left free. We know that for a certainty now, because Garrod Hegarty is going to be down the field kind of 70 or 80 yards from his own goals, along with, we'll say, the other half forwards. There's a few, like, Limerick aren't going to give the ball to Waterford like Cork did, because Limerick's use of the ball is excellent. So there's a bit of a question mark for Liam Cahill as to how he's going to approach playing against Limerick on Sunday now, because it's well documented that Limerick will have 12 bodies behind, we said, the halfway line, and they'll be trying to find Gillan at every opportunity. And we saw the last that Ty DeBucker set back into the D a little bit like Mark Ellis did last year. And he could be cutting off a lot of balls to Gillan. So there's a lot of tactics at play here. But what we do know is that Waterford are going to come all guns blazing. And I think they're really, really fit. I think they're fitter than Tipperary are. Tipper coming off of winning the All-Ireland. The Tullasaskis went out early. The McGraths involved with the two counties getting beaten. I think they were definitely very flat. But I do think that Waterford will bring a real fitness and a real edge to the game. And they have a couple of exceptional players, Anthony, that I think they'll bring the game to Limerick on Sunday.
And Hoagie, like, none of the pundits really will be going for Waterford. Like, I suppose we're all going to the head and the bookies will tell us as well. Like, do you think they have to change? Like, a lot of people are, you know, there's been so much focus on taking on Limerick in the crash zone, let's say, in the middle. There's no real way of beating them at the moment in that zone. Now, Kilkenny last year, to be fair to you, you exposed a few things there. But in general, in the last 3 years, nobody has really come out on top of Limerick in that zone. Do you think Cahill will try and come up with something different?
I think you can't avoid, first of all, being competitive in that crash zone. I mean, there isn't ways to skirt around the edges and try and catch Limerick. You have to front up. That's the first thing. You know, I think if you have any hope of beating this Limerick side, you're going to have to turn up on a day and front up physically. And now, okay, you're not going to bully Limerick by any stretch of the imagination, but you do need to be competitive in that space, because at the end of the day, that's where the 80% of the possessions are, you know, between the puckouts, whether they go short or long, the ball is coming through that zone. You know, and a lot of Limerick's game, I suppose key players, the likes of Hegarty and Keane Lynch and all these guys who are always getting on the ball, getting on huge amounts of possession, are in that zone. So it's about dealing with that, you know. And I think Waterford, you know, their strongest line is their half-back line, you know, which, depending on where they play Austin Gleeson, but, you know, with Ty DeBurka back and fit, you know, and that game will do them, you know, the world of good. And Callum Lyons, you know, with the way he's attacking, I think it'd be really interesting with Grod Hegarty, the way he does drop back. You know, you've got Kevin Moran on the same flank playing wing forward. So if Grod Hegarty is dropping out the field looking for possession and Callum Lyons is holding his own position, you have Kevin Moran there who has that discipline and that kind of experience to be able to kind of keep an eye on where Hegarty is, you know, and stay close to him and try and, you know, negate him to prevent him from building momentum and picking up balls and coming at the Waterford defence. But look, yeah, outside of that, they're going to have to look at something as well out of the order, you know, some sort of surprise, you know, for Limerick. They're going to have to make Limerick think, you know, while you say you have to kind of front up physically in that middle third of the field. And I think Waterford will, because, you know, I think Waterford, you know, with Cahill there, he's kind of brought back a bit of that kind of passion, that bit of aggression, as you mentioned, that, you know, it was always going to be difficult coming in after Derek McGrath. The players are so close to him and there was such an emotional roller coaster over the couple of years. And there was a lag there for whatever reason with injuries and everything else. You do get a sense now with a couple of the key personnel back and Liam Cahill bringing that freshness that they're kind of on a, you know, they've kind of turned a bit of a corner. Maybe the players are like, look, Jesus, we need to make the most of this now over the next few years. So, yeah, I think, you know, Cahill is, look, he's cute enough. He's astute enough. He's been there, you know, for the last couple of years. You know, we've seen him. I've no doubt he will have something up his sleeve, you know, what that is. You know, look, I mean, We've mentioned how Limerick are short, and, you know, in terms of missing their shoe in the full back line. Is he going to look at something to try and maybe isolate one of the guys, maybe Barry Nash or someone in there, and try and exploit that? I don't know, but he will. He'll definitely come with something anyway.
Yeah, but it seemed like the last day from the Cork game is that they had eight players, somewhere around seven or eight players out around the middle of the field, and they were leaving Bennett up front with Desi Hutchinson to a certain degree. I mean, they could play, like, Anthony, if they bring back and withdraw seven or eight players into that middle third there, that's going to clog it up. And, like, Limerick's game is to get the three half-forwards out. The other thing is that Darragh Fives is fit to play. That would release Kevin Moore into that pocket there to mind an awful lot of those players. So it wouldn't surprise me if you saw Kevin Moore in the middle of the field just going left and right to watch the two half-forwards and add in Tom Morrissey as well to that. So Darragh Fives, if he was fit to play, I could see him starting the half-back line with DeBurka and Caleb Lyons and pushing on Kevin Moore. But, like, you have really an astute man, I think, in Liam Cahill. He has won his minor on 221s. He's setting his stall out and making his name for in Waterford. And I think Gleeson is key now. I mean, if Gleeson goes head-to-head with Decky Hannon and stays centre-forward, I think he'll take him for pace, but you have to get the ball to Gleeson, and he has to have his shooting boots on. Like, he can't be throwing the ball over. Like, he got 3 points the last day, but he also hit three or four wides that if he steadied himself, and like, for Waterford to win on Sunday, they'll need Gleeson getting, I'd say, 5 or 6 points in play, and Jamie Bannon adding 3 or 4 points in play, you know?
But TJ, like, Limerick don't let Dickie Hannon be exposed too often, like, to the men he's on. Like, he sits in the pocket, like, and even I found it unusual the last day. Now, maybe I commented too much on it on the co-commentary about Kyle going back, wing back, like, but it shook Tip, there's no doubt about it, like. Yeah. All of a sudden, their man Marker for Keane Lynch was playing centre back, and Kyle and you're Brian Hogan. You're looking up the field, and there's Kyle Hennon and Burns. So where am I going to puck this? Like,
yeah, I suppose, like, look, Limerick would be very happy for Waterford to bomb on into the middle third and for that crash zone, you said, to become like where that the war zone in the game, and Limerick are comfortable at that, and they like to create a bit of space with their forwards. For me, I think there's probably a couple of very interesting matchups potentially coming here. Like, is Prunty going to pick up Aaron Gillan? You'd be thinking that that's definitely going to be a one that Waterford will need to win that battle. Where's Keane going to play? Difficult week for Keane this week, Dale. I know you commented already with his uncle. Keane will be burying his uncle on Saturday, which is difficult before a Munster final. So, to be fair to him, where the position Keane, where the position Kyle Hayes. And the other interesting factor here, Dale, was in the last league game before lockdown on the 7th of March, right, is Limerick played Waterford in the league in the Gaelic Grounds. And Waterford played reasonably well now. The game finished Limerick winning by 4 points, 121 to 117. But the boys, and we spoke about Liam Cahill and like Michael Beavens with him as well, two clever boys, and like they, I've no doubt they will have something up their sleeve. The one thing that's probably saying to me, even though they did have a great win over Cork, is that Cork created 44 shots at the post and 44 scoring chances. You will not be able, like the wides that Cork have early on, you probably couldn't see maybe a Limerick being as wasteful as that. And Waterford don't want the situation. Like, if you cough up 44 scoring chances to Limerick, I would say Waterford will go to be in trouble. But there are potential improvers. They had a great win the last day. I agree with Markin that they're hopping out of their skin, and you can see that. And I also agree with Ozzy. He's a key man for them. He needs to lead that charge up front, right? He needs to stop to kind of, I suppose, that piece of his game that kind of nobody wants to see. Just get on with it. Mm. He's a brilliant hurler. He's a former hurler of the year. He has all the kind of the tools in the bag to go and be a match winner on Munster final day. And I would say that Waterford need him on Sunday. And I think that if Waterford had to win, they'll probably have to win that Prunty-Gillan battle, right? They'll probably have to tie down Limerick in the middle of the field, certainly Keane Lynch, and they'll need a massive game one of Ozzy. And if they can win those with the likes of Tadhg Bourke, Domhnaill Nor, like, we know what we're going to get from Tadhg Bourke, you know what you're going to get from Bennett, there's Jamie Barron in the middle of the field. You know, that's nearly a guarantee. That's a 9 out of 10 most days. Ozzy, on the other hand, is a little trickier, isn't it?
It is. And look, if they're playing with the Cahill edge, as I'll call it, like, the big thing is to keep Ozzy calm and keep him, you know, that Ozzy, yeah, we're all playing with an edge now, bar you. You're just playing brilliant hurling, like, you know. But look, I suppose it's hard to look past Limerick, Mark, and overall, like, playing so well. Is there a danger? No, I wouldn't ask TJ this because I know what he'll say, but that, like, they've beaten two of their biggest rivals, their other ones being Cork. And it's funny, from a Clare and Limerick point of view, there's very little rivalry with Waterford. We had a few issues with them there in the late 90s, all right, but it's all calm and friendly again. And during staycation, I met more Waterford people in West Clare, and likewise, I think, you know, an awful lot of Clare people hit down there to the sunny southeast. But Mark, is there a little danger that Limerick have an awful lot of the heavy lifting done? They were superb in their two games. We saw it last year. I mean, I watched the Munster final again there from last year. What an occasion, the Gaelic Grounds. What a contrast to this year's Munster final. Do you know, the crowd that was there last year, the atmosphere against Tip, and they blew Tip away. And I suppose they've blown Tip and Clare away this year. And
yeah,
is there any bit of danger that the complacency set in, or would last year be a superb learning curve? Like,
yeah, I would have felt that, like, for Limerick to win the All Ireland, they have to produce 5 performances in a short period of time. There's no doubt that they felt that last year they left an All Ireland, I think, behind them. If the game had on for another 5 minutes against Kilkenny, they'd have been in the All Ireland final, and they would have improved. As the game was going on, they were improving. And I think they really are the one team that has come back this year, Anthony, with a real fight for to try and win the Liam McCarthy. I think on the complacency side of things, I think actually Cian Lynch's uncle tragically passing away recently could actually be a spur on for them, a bit like the Tony Keady situation a couple of years ago with Galway, that it was like a bit of a 16th man. I mean, we know what the Careys mean to Limerick. They have been unbelievable, driving force of Limerick for years, Kieran in particular, just and Penn and them, like, you know, just phenomenal. So it is a tough week for them this week. And I actually think that the Limerick crowd, the Limerick people will be speaking to their players on the ground, and they have an extra cause, I think, Anthony. They won't want to be saying it too loud, but I think Limerick could come. They certainly don't think they'll be complacent, and I think this, what has happened this week tragically, will give them an extra bit of momentum, I would expect. And I would be shocked if they'll flop on Sunday, is my own view. But I think Waterford would be really up for it, but I don't see Limerick flopping, Anthony.
Okay, so I suppose we're agreed, lads, that we feel, you know, Limerick into the semi-final, and Waterford probably look, we don't know, but this is our thinking on Waterford into the quarters, where they'll be really good opposition for anyone that comes out of the qualifiers. Like, this crowd are not going to, like, even if they're beaten on Sunday, they're not going to drop their level and they'll really attack a quarter-final game if that's the way it turns out.
Yeah. Like, injuries have a huge part to play with the championship at the moment. Like, looking at the Cork panel, Sean O'Donoghue, Owen Cadigan, Ellen Cadigan, Dara Fitzgibbon, all probably won't be available this weekend. There's four.
Have you the fiddle, TJ? Have you the fiddle? The fiddle there, will you? He's got the two wrong. Go away, will you? And sell the horse to see how much you get for it.
Yeah, did you get McInerney off just as a side of it? Did you get McInerney off the ridge yet?
I'm working on it.
My God, fair play to Cusick. He did a lot of work for you last Sunday night.
Well, sure, he only talked about what he could see, sure. And sure, I mean, there was nothing in the incident. Like,
yeah, you know, but if you turned up the audio, you could hear it quite clear that there was an incident happening behind the scenes and there was no camera on it.
I don't know. It was the audio up to the last, and I didn't hear anything like that. I don't know. As linesman, anyway, got him a red card and got the lad from Leash.
A yellow card,
like, it's hard to figure for me, like, they're appealing it anyway. But
as I told you the week previous, the fella that starts it always gets away with it, because the fella who comes in second will always get done.
Well, having never been sent off in a county game myself, I can concur with you there that you have to play.
Me neither.
TJ, you got sent off about 18 times.
I never got sent off in a county game, though.
Many times in club, TJ, tell the truth.
Twice.
I'll
go back to Mark and say, if there's no pictures, Mark, you can't be proven, so you can deny anything when there's no pictures.
This is all fake news. Trump is gone, TJ. Trump is gone. He's gone. You know, great man.
He's only 10 miles up the road from me here, the hotel and the golf course, and he's after flying in there this morning. Air Force One passed over Tully Crine here this morning, and it's Donald was waving out. He says, "Hey, Delo, get your clubs. Call up." You know, so he's employing a lot of people here in West Clare, so we want to keep him around the place as well. We've no problem with Joe Biden either. We like the signals there. But, right, we better move it, lads. The lengths are fine, lads. One of my bakes last year was I was on for the Munster final and the Leinster final on RTE, and they were on the same day, and the Joe McDonagh final while the Munster final was on behind us in Croke Park as the curtain raiser to the Leinster final. And it's terrible, I thought. Like, you know, the Joe McDonagh final and the Munster final being on, and the amount of supporters that were in Croke Park to watch the Leinster final, Wexford, Kilkenny, massive crowd. And they were inside in the bars having a pint, watching the Munster final while we're trying to promote to Joe McDonagh. So I think it's a great move, lads, and it should be every second year. And feck the Munster Council and their high notions about the Munster final. Hoagie, I can see you nodding, loving it. But like every second year, Munster final Saturday night, Leinster final Sunday, same the following year, then swap round. I think it's a great move. And I think we look forward to a great Leinster final, lads, on Sunday. And Hoagie, while you're nodding and smiling, you're in huge trouble. Like, You barely beat Dublin.
Oh, we have no hope, Dalo. You know, sure, we're only going up.
What's your read? What's your read? Give us a little feedback now on the things on the ground, like on North Side.
You mentioned injuries and other things. There's a few question marks over two or three players at the moment. Nothing confirmed, but.
See the way TJ where's that name out, everyone, like with Hoggy, no way will he name a name like. Oh, Murta.
Yeah, it's just again, it's there's a question mark over two or three of the guys at the moment. I think, you know, without going into too much detail, yeah, I think they're waiting to see what the story is. There might be a case of close contact with one of them and having to see what the story is there. So, again, without having it confirmed, I'm not going to say anything. But
is TJ Reid one of them? What? Just get that out of the way.
Landers is ringing his bookie as we speak.
lay off.
No, TJ's fit and healthy. He's chomping at the bit.
We're all right, Tom. We're okay,
Tom. But, yeah, come back to your first point, Dalo. Yeah, I totally agree. The more matches we have, the more, you know, all these good competitive matches, you don't want to be losing any of them to, you know, competing with each other. So, absolutely, having them split and having them all on TV so, you know, everyone can enjoy them. Is a definite no-brainer. In terms of the match itself, yeah, look, it's going to be a massive game. It's hard to know what to make of the Dublin match, to be honest. I mean, talk about an anti-climax. You know, we came away from it. Obviously, you're doing the punditry on it, and I think most people were getting ready to head off at halftime, you know, thinking it was done and dusted. Yeah. And it's gas, like, how the difference 35 minutes makes, you know, because if the match had followed through the second half the way it was in the first half, Kilkenny had been up there in the conversation with Limerick as favourites of the Ireland, and oh, geez, they're back. And coming out of it at the end, having hung on, you know, by the skin of our teeth, you were kind of going, where are we at, you know? And I think we've seen that actually Dublin, you know, the following week, relatively poor. It's kind of, that's a bit of a worry, you know, it was a poor Dublin side, really, you know, but look, I mean, reflecting back on that match, we got ourselves into a massive winning lead with probably at least four of the players, the main players in our team, not hurling particularly well. So there's massive scope for improvement there, you know. So from that point of view, but look, we're going to need to improve, you know, 40%, you know, to beat the Galway side. You know, I think the Galway side, a bit like the Limerick side, you know, have TJ's disagreeing with me there. But I think look, Galway always, if you allow Galway to hurl, they're lethal. You know, that was one of the fears we always had playing them, is that if you let these lads hurl. A bit like Cork, you know, they can make the ball talk, but if you can squeeze them, if you can put pressure on them, if you can put doubts in their head early, all of a sudden the cracks start to appear, you know. So, you know,
yeah, when it was yourself, Tommy and JJ, like the squeeze was put on, all right, but he ain't there now,
yeah. But it'll be the same mantra from Brian, that won't change. Okay, maybe the style has evolved a bit, you know, and they're working the ball through the lines and that kind of thing, and maybe obviously the personnel has changed around, but the basics won't change from that point of view with Brian, you know, and they'll be going in. You know, one thing with any Kilkenny team that brings over, you'll be going in confident. But, you know, I think there's a couple of great matchups there. You know, I'm within that game. I'm really looking forward to it. Hugh Lawler, you know, my club man, I was delighted to see him step up and score, you know, a monster pint to win the match for us against Dublin. He's capable of that. And I'm kind of waiting for him to bring that on to the next level. You know, he had a great year last year, having marked four of the five top forwards in the country and holding his own. This is the next level to his game. Big matchup now with Conor Whelan up there. Big physical presence, you know. So that'll be good, you know. Obviously, TJ in the centre forward, you know, a lot revolves around him from a Kilkenny perspective. And I keep saying we need to kind of lighten the load on TJ, you know. Richie came on the last day and didn't look particularly sharp. You know, again, I'm hoping, you know, that might have stood him in good stead. But obviously missing Adrian Mullen is a loss, you know. So there's still a lot of questions with this Kilkenny side. You know, where are we at? Where exactly are we at? So, you know, that's you know, I think some of those questions will be answered now on Sunday.
Yeah, TJ, are you believing him in any way there? Like, you know,
not a bit of it. Dale, for me, this game is like a deaf dog. It's hard to call. I thought the three key pieces of form in the hurling championship so far is Galway were impressive, Limerick were impressive against Tip, and Kilkenny's first half performance was unreal. Like Brian saying Kilkenny need to improve 40%, that's not true at all. I thought Kilkenny in the first half whatever happened in the second half, I think they can fix that. I just think that...
But TJ, can I just say that to you? Look, we don't associate, like, Cody team 16 points up. They don't be drawn level in injury time and pull it out of the fire.
I said the last day, I think you can see the two poor goals. Their full back line needs to improve, right? And I think that will improve. I think Cody will have got to them. I'm sure they will have seen that in the video. You won't see that happening again to a Kilkenny team. I think that's an easy fix. I do think Galway against Wexford the last day, and we could make the same point about Wexford, where Wexford really at it, and we know what Davey said after the game. Galway did look impressive. We're probably looking at a situation where TJ Reid is going to be man-marked by potentially a Joe Cooney or a Gerard McInerney. So the other Kilkenny forwards will definitely need to step up. The scoring power is there. So this is a Kilkenny team now who are in the All-Ireland final, as Mark said, they're like up to ascending off, like, and potentially could be an All-Ireland champions, right? Yeah. They've had a very good first half. So I think if you were looking at it as lines of form, if you take out the second, let's say that the last quarter against Dublin, Kilkenny's form has been up there with the rest of them. And I think you're looking for this, to me, is probably going to be the tightest of them over the weekend.
Well, TJ, just let me come back to that point regarding, okay, the 40% may be a bit high, but the reason I was saying that was, you know, getting into a position of 16 points and then looking, I suppose, losing your focus and your direction in terms of what you were trying to do. The boys that came on didn't make any impact. You know, we drove some horrendous wides. You know, if we got two or three of those points, that would have kept the scoreboard ticking over. You know, and very uncharacteristic wides. I mean, I've never seen Richie drive wides like that before. And in the backs as well, I felt Pádraig had a very quiet day, you know, for us. Connor was quite, you know, relatively quiet in midfield. And I felt, you know, a corner back as well. I thought Wallace did well in one corner. I was a bit concerned about Connor Delaney in the other corner. You know, so while it was enough to get through the Dublin match and a poor Dublin team on reflection, I think against Galway, I think we're going to need, and it's not that we can't. I think there's more, you know, we know Pádraig, we know Connor, they've done it on the big days. I just think there is a significant improvement required.
Will the full back line be the same?
Joey Holland surely come into play, will he?
Yeah, I mean, Joey's been, you know, class at club level for the last number of years. He's been class with Kilkenny. You know, obviously he had a difficult final a couple of years ago. And I've been on record of saying that the fault lay out the fields. You know, I mean, Christ almighty.
No protection that they like.
No protection. If there was, our half back line was drawn way out the field, they were dominating possession and spraying ball into Shamie Callan. I mean, there's not a full back in the country could survive there and that. But Joey has been one of the most consistent defenders for us. I'd be surprised if he doesn't start on Sunday, to be honest. And he'll be a huge addition if he does come in. Because you know he's got pace as well, you know, and he's a clever hurler. He does the simple things well every time, you know. And so I'd be surprised, and I think he'd be a big addition if he does come in. And like that, just I think in some of the personnel that I mentioned, I think there is room for improvement, and I think they will improve because I think on the bigger day, I think they'll go in knowing that this is going to be a bigger test. But that's where I see the kind of the need for that improvement.
And Mark, TJ has alluded there that they're probably men, Mark. His namesake, TJ Reid, would maybe speculating that Joseph Cooney or Gerard McInerney to come out from fullback. I don't really see that. Maybe that, I don't know. Maybe Fintan would go in fullback. But like Galway, Jesus, the likes of Fintan, Sean Loftus, Brian Concannon really looked to have taken that step up the last day. They've arrived at this level.
They were excellent against Wexford, Anthony, the last. It was probably one of the best performances, TJ said, one of the form performances. The question again, obviously, for Galway, will they be able to keep performing at that level on a consistent basis? I think that they will bring a physical edge to it. But come here, TJ Reid, every day TJ Reid goes out, whether it's club or county, he's going to be man-marked anyway. So he's well used to that situation, and no better man to be able to take on that challenge. And his simplicity of his hurling is and his vision is just like we are very lucky to be hurling enthusiasts that we see a fellow with his skill and his ability in front of our eyes producing this performance all day in, day out. His performance levels have never dropped, Anthony, in the last 3 or 4 years. He has been outstanding, and I would expect exactly something similar again on Sunday. I suppose I was disappointed with the Kilkenny backs in the second half. I thought they were pulled ragged. And I would be shocked if Joey Holden and maybe Paul Murphy, you know, did Cody do a very smart thing and give the lads a chance and an opportunity against Dublin? Say, listen, let's give these guys a chance because we need to have a good panel. Could you see the Paul Murphys and the Joey Holden coming back into that team? certainly one of them I think will start on Leinster the final day. But on the overall thing, Anthony, the biggest question for Galway is, can they produce another performance like they did against Wexford? How good? We haven't questioned the Wexford team yet because we haven't seen them again. We've questioned the Dublin team because we've seen them beaten well by Cork. You know, are Wexford added this year? Like, that's what Galway beat. And if we, like, we might have a different opinion if, you know, if your own county will topple Wexford over the weekend.
Gosh, there's no point even talking about that.
Yeah, we're only going to go. we're going on last year's form on Wexford, how good they were, but they were very, very poor. So, but like Galway did look impressive, and Whelan to me, and I said it the last day, is I think the pressure has been taken off of Joe Cooney, that the other forward stepped up to the plate. Joe Kenning, sorry, Joe Kenning, yeah, because here the four, if Joe plays well, Galway play well. He was okay the last day. He wasn't his, you know, usual brilliant self. He was very effective, but the rest of the forwards were excellent. And that's really, to me, they, like that Galway team. If they produce that performance, I think they would. Even though I've picked Kilkenny from the outside, but if they produce that performance on Sunday, they'll be very, very hard to beat.
And TJ, do you think they can take? Galway can take the Bob O'Keefe out of Leinster. Again, I know they're playing Leinster, but obviously they're as west as I am here.
I definitely do. And I think that the two Burkes also, they've had a bit of time. Dahi Burke and David Burke are back in the frame, right? So, like, there'll be a challenge there for the boy Shane O'Neill. Do they stick with the 15-15, or is there a temptation there to make a change? We're probably looking at maybe a very much a 15-15 where a game here where the two of these teams will go at it. It might be the one game over the weekend where you won't have as many mad formations as some of the other games. So here is definitely one of the ones, maybe Cork and Tip might be the same, where it'll be different for Galway this time around. They'll have to man up to some of those positions because the last day it suits them. They minded the ball very well. So for me, tight game coming down the track here. And a question mark as to whether Galway will go over the same 15 again.
Yeah, Hoagie, I know you have to go there. Great to have you for the hour. And like, I'll never forget Brian Cody coming into a Dublin dressing room in 13, not to be referring to now too often, but like, he nearly did my job for me before the Leinster final. He said, "We let the Bob O'Keefe out of Leinster last year and now up over to Galway in 12. And he says, "It's your job to get it back next week." Mm. But you know, he nearly did my job for me for the week. Yeah. So I think there'll be a ferocious. I nearly go off, give Kilkenny the nod on this one. Is your gut telling you you'll do it?
Yeah, I think we'll edge it. I think, as I said, you look, there's obviously question marks, but there's question marks on the Galway side as well. And I think maybe Mark brought it up. One of them that's always with the Galway team is, can they do, they had a great performance the last day. Can they back it up the next day? Sometimes they're a bit hot and cold, you know, and you're kind of pulling your hair out looking at the players they have, why they can't do it. But you know, I think they will bring a performance because, as was mentioned, they're less reliant on Joe having to deliver every day, you know. And I think that's, you know, with TJ on our side, who's consistently delivering, you know, 8-9s out of 10s, you just like to see that load, you know, because be spread around, you know, across the other five forwards. And I think there will be at least two changes, I'd say, to the Kilkenny team from the last day. You mentioned Paul Murphy. I heard Tommy Welsh is flying it and training as well, so he's another guy potentially. But again, these are all backs, and I think we need to look at the options in the forwards as well. But yeah, no, I think Brian will have the lads ready. There's no doubt about that. And I think, provided the injuries are not as as bad as we think, I think I give Kilkenny every chance. I think it'll be a right battle. TJ is 100% right. I think it'll be 15-15, a kind of traditional kind of you win your own position kind of job. And I think it'll be a great match.
Okay, Huggy, and we'll let you go back to work there in case things. I know you're in level 5, which are flat out by. And come here. The best of luck, G. The weekend, obviously, we're neutral here, obviously, but the rest of us. TJ, all right, has a bit of a leg there in Galway, especially with Shane O'Neill as well in charge. But great to have you, Brian.
A pleasure.
We'll talk to you soon, Kate.
All right, cheers, Ed.
So, okay. Good stuff. So look, like it's potential probably to be like all four games, lads, have the potential to be the game of the weekend, like nearly, haven't they? But there's something about this one in Croker, and I'm on about the surfaces now. Maybe I'm being too pedantic about the surfaces, but Jesus, the ball will be flying Saturday evening. I mean, it's some day of hurling Saturday, like.
But we made a couple, it was last week. There was a clash in the matches. At least this weekend now, you have a 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock game, and then the Munster final on Sunday. And that's great from a hurling point of view, that any fellow who wants to sit down and watch the four matches over the weekend, that there's no crossover. So that's great, and we need to mark that and say how good it is from a scheduling point of view. Well, like, you're right, what you said earlier on about the Leinster final on a Saturday and the Munster final on the Sunday. That needs to happen going forward. Spread the crowd, because there's only 70 or 80,000 people going to Croke Park when the crowds will be back, and once the pandemic will go, the crowds will be back. But there's probably another 500,000 or 600,000 or 700,000 people that want to watch the matches on the television. And we need to be able to showcase our sport on the television for all ages outside
of. No, there's no doubt on that. What a day. How are we going to watch a bit of the Masters, TJ, in the middle of it all?
Well, I was going to say, Dale, there's an awful lot. There's soccer matches, internationals, there's rugby. The Cheltenham November meeting is on. I was going to give you a tip for the weekend. I think Lowry at 50-1 paying top 10. I think 50 odds there is great value over the weekend. There's a 50-1 tip for the listeners. And I think, to sum it up, I think Saturday is going to be one of those kind of quotes from the Unbelievables day. I'd say you want to be having the dinner at 8:30 in the morning.
What did you say about the deaf dog again?
I said he's had to call.
Ah, stop the two of ye. Look, there's an old match on in Port Leash as well. There are 2 o'clock Saturday. There's crowds trying to talk it up there in various media about two of my old teammates there. Two lads that, by God, they put the fear of God in forward lines throughout the country in the 90s. The two of them, you got past Law and you had to get past Fitzy, like, but they come up against each other.
Della, that was going in. You would have to get past them on the way out as well.
There's no doubt about it. Throw Mike Dollard into the mix. Della. Frank as well. Like, yeah. Just saying, like, TJ, some of the GAA Goa matches, TJ, have been a bit disappointing with the one camera. There'd definitely be a second camera this time, but it won't be behind the goal. It'd be surely on the sideline, will it?
I was going to say, I think there's a Kevin Keegan moment coming here, isn't there, for me, the manager. I would love it if I beat him. Surely to God, I think probably more so Lohan is in that bracket. But Dale, you are probably, like, maybe in the best position. Like, it's amazing that these two guys, I was actually in UL the day, or the incident as to what happened. I was there the day LIT played UL. I probably was a little bit surprised at Lohan that they should have just held their ground and did the warm-up and left whatever happened. But anyway, it's amazing, given what you've been through as a team in the 90s, that somebody hasn't pulled these two guys together, or is it just two characters that you couldn't? That it's amazing that they have got to a point. Now, at the same time, I was thinking driving the road this morning, there's probably GAA clubs in every corner of the country, and to mine counties, right, where there are scenarios where people who have soldiered so hard together to win a county or to do something, and then because your father dropped his son or whatever, there's a touch of this all over the country, isn't there?
Yeah, like, I mean, you said it there, like, why don't you just shake hands and forget about it? But look, this goes on. There's hardly a team we played on, whether it be county, club, whatever, that as lads don't get on, or teams we've trained in the past, all three of us. And those lads don't pull, like, but they'll pull when they're together out with the same jersey on, no bother, and they'd fight for each other. They might go for a pint together that night, like, but look, I think there's way too much being made of this, like, you know what? Sure, it might only take one game of golf when the lockdown is lifted that the two boys start chatting again, and I don't know, look. Was there more to it than that, just that match in UL, like, but it's, look, I think it's overplayed.
I'll play with you.
Oh yeah!
I'd love to be throwing it in there now between the three. But
well, that's the one thing that might unite them is actually hitting a slap in you.
Oh, maybe that is true. But it is one of the factors in the GAA that if you go into a club or you're going to find out something about a club, you kind of have to find out where the bodies are buried, like, don't you?
Oh, unreal! I tell you, and you weren't too bad at going up to St. Thomas's, but going down to Kilmiley. North Kerry. you don't know what side of the Civil War anyone was on there, like. Stop. Father Mossy Brick was the first man I spoke to. Mossy, give me a lowdown there on these fellas.
But Dello, I'm going to lead the charge here. This is the upset of the weekend. I'm going to tip Clare to beat Wexford. I think that Clare have beaten Wexford in the last three times they've played, and like Lohan this year in the league, go back to it when they met, they had a great win down in Wexford. And Wexford is a difficult place to go down and get a result in the league. They had a win down there. I think the last day, the game against Laois, I think Clare were flying it up to the sending off. Okay, yeah, the game took a turn there, but I think this is a massive game for both of them. And I suppose the reality is Lohan could probably finish the, a win for Lohan here would probably finish the Davy-Wexford relationship. I think that's what's coming down the track here. So an awful lot to play for him. So I'd imagine it'll be passionate.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark, you touched on something earlier. We were talking about the build-up to the Leinster final. And we don't know about Wexford this year, do we? No. The league form was very mixed. I expected them to beat Galway. I said they know their game. Galway, new manager. I mean, and Davy was... he was in bad form afterwards, let's face it. You can imagine training for the 2 weeks as well.
I think there'll actually be a bounce factor in them, Anthony. I actually think I'd be a bit concerned for Clare over the weekend. I feel that most of the teams, and I'm just particularly talking about Cork, I suppose, in so far that the criticism they got after the game against Waterford and the non-performance, that there was a bounce factor. And the biggest question for Cork will be, can they put it back-to-back? I think they both tip and Wexford, their supporters would give given them a fair going over in the last fortnight. They've had the opportunity now to actually recover the bodies and the minds, and I think that Wexford could come with a mentality of what we saw from Davy Fitzgerald after the game. Really, really disappointed, non-show, gutted with the players, with their attitude. It just wasn't good enough. I think that, and like Lee Chin, it was on the paper as well, you know, saying that Davy was 100% right in what he said and the approach that he took, and that the players were 100% behind him. And I think they are behind him, definitely. I have a strong feeling, Dale, though, that Wexford will come with all guns blazing. And, like, Tony Kelly again was outstanding the last day against Laois. And, I know they're sending off, but if that game went on for another couple of minutes, I think Laois could have got over the line, Dale. So I feel that if Tony Kelly is tied up, that will create a problem for Clare, because I don't think they'll get enough scores. And I think there's going to be a bounce factor come from Wexford that they are smarting after what happened. And look, I think we all kind of went for them to beat Galway. Yeah. Galway were exceptional on the night. But I just have a feeling that Davy will have the lads wound up for one crack. And against Clare, Anthony, you know as well as I do, he'll know all those Clare players. He'll know their strengths. He'll know their weaknesses. He'll know what to do. He's going to go tactically. He'll match him up to the danger men, and then it'll be a fight one against one. But I feel it'll be a bounce in Wexford this weekend.
Yeah, and I think all the teams like that, you know, we know ourselves, lads, when we got riddled and you know, we played bad and we had another chance or whatever, there would be a bounce. But sometimes, TJ, I often felt that a team, you're meeting a team that was coming on the bounce. There's about 15 minutes in that bounce. Like, if you stand up to it for 15 minutes, and you kind of, that's same from a Cork against Tip point of view. Like, if you stand up to it for 15 minutes and are right there in the game, in their faces, the bounce kind of goes out the window a bit. I just feel the David McInerney appeal is on tonight, I think. And like, that is probably crucial for me. Like, I think Clare are going to make changes. I'd see Jack Brown coming back in. I'd see Pat O'Connor coming back in. And I'd possibly see David Fitzgerald coming back in. Not Davy Fitz now. Davy Fitzgerald, Aine Kilnamona. Like, they've been through the mill in terms of the last few years, played in two Munster finals, the three of them. And I just think Clare have to go with those guys as opposed to maybe some of the... Now, Rory Hayes has done a great job, Conor, back. In fairness to him, he's been kind of... He was turning at the last minute against Limerick, and he did a fair job in Graham Mull the same day. And I just think... We don't know. I'm not leaning towards Clare, because I have to think back on how good Wexford were last year. But what it worries me a small bit, if I was a Wexford man, that I've seen nothing this year that's backing up last year. And I kind of felt that with Clare, or with Dublin, my last year with Dublin as well. We got a great year in 13, won Leinster, lucky not to maybe get to an All-Ireland, and then 14, the flatness just came in again. And I'm hoping, from a Clare point of view, and like, Mark, I know your point is well made about Davy was so mad and everything, but like, I'll tell you around here as well, like, there's the players are getting it between the 2 years for, you know, whatever way they got away with the Limerick performance, Limerick or this, that and the other, but like, barely hanging on against Leash. Now I know 14 men, but and they know Davy over, like the players surely have to stand up for Brian Lohan as well.
Yeah, but I just wonder, Anthony, how good is this Clare panel at the moment? Like, you know, you have one exceptional player in Tony Kelly, and even against Limerick, he was out like 16 points on that given day, and Dale up the rest but of Mark, the players.
Yeah. Well, Mark, we're down Duggan and Conlon. Fair enough, right?
Huge loss.
This is a team that Galway and themselves went toe to toe 2 years ago.
Phenomenal.
Two All Ireland semi-finals, and Limerick were probably nearly hoping for Galway to come through in the All Ireland final, TJ.
Yeah, I think Dale O'Shanahan are full forward the last day. It's to me, it's definitely a better fit. The team, as I said, like up top, they looked that bit stronger than they did against Limerick in terms of. I'm not saying this. He's definitely going to be playing again, but I think he'll be full forward. I think he's a handful in a given day. Tony Kelly's in the form of his life. They have other players to bring in. As I said, I know, like I've often seen it like with club teams, and county teams in the past. Like, you go back, there's teams who cause problems for you. And like Clare going to Wexford earlier in the league and beating them down in Wexford Park, like, is a big win. I think the Lohan Davy thing is massive, and like obviously Davy's father being involved. Like there's nearly a game outside of the game here, like, which is going to be hard to win early doors. And then, like you said, I think the first 15 minutes crucial here. Like, I think Wexford will have to put a stamp in the game. And sometimes forcing it can be difficult. It just can be really, really hard.
But TJ, the form that Clare showed at the start of the year, they didn't bring that to the championship yet this year, in my opinion. Like, they were outstanding, and under Brian Lohan in the first 2 months of the season were excellent. But the other factor here, Dale, like the Wexford Hurling Championship was over well in advance. That Wexford team were back training longer than anybody else in the Intercounty Championship this year. Why they were so flat against Galway, I just don't know. But if they bring what they brought last year, and it has to be in the locker, Anthony, they have to have the training done. As you know, any team that's trained by Davy Fitz, they will be well drilled and they'll be fit and they'll be strong. But I just, on the night, and that's why maybe Galway are very, very good lads, that Wexford weren't allowed to play. But to me, Anthony, you know, I don't know, have Clare got enough good players, Anthony, to finish that job on Sunday against Wexford. I think the Wexford are way better than what they showed in the one game. And I do think they'll be really smarting from it. And
nearly every pundit in Ireland, Mark, is going to agree with you, like, you know, bar TJ, no, in fairness to him. But like, the only thing to counter that, I suppose, they were back training before everyone else, but the other county that were back training for everyone else was Waterford, and they brought it.
It is.
So that's why my little doubts. And the other thing I bring into play is here is Port Leash, lads. Yeah. That's going to be wettish now, and that's going to be tight, and the sideline there is going to be fairly tense. And I suppose, look, if there's any Clare players listening to this, I'd be appealing to them to have a good chat with yourself in the next couple of days and put on the war paint and bring it to Port Leash.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to mention Christy Ring 100 years. I can't go back to stuff like that, Mark, but I'd be hoping that our boys would come with the war paint on for this one anyway.
Absolutely.
Les, the other one, we touched on it. Like, the forgotten team, Larry, with your mute button on. Tibradarn, lads. I was so very disappointed with them against Limerick. Now, Limerick, lads, are extraordinary at the minute, I will allow, but just didn't feel, you know, things backfired. There's doubts, there's talk of Bonner being fit, there's talks of McCormick's and Breen definitely starting. And this on in the Gaelic grounds as well, I think, is a big advantage to Tip. And I think if Cork could get over this one, Cork would have a say, lads.
Yeah,
I really do. Will they get over this one?
Look, the biggest thing. Consistency, consistency, consistency. That's the one word we'll keep saying about this present Cork panel of players. And this is a massive weekend actually for Cork hurling, because we got the reaction that we required after the debacle against Waterford. Now you're coming in against your real arch rivals in Tipperary, and this Cork team has to date been very inconsistent, Anthony. And you're right, if they get over the Tip team, they won't fear anybody left in the championship. And the biggest question for Cork is, can they bring the fight and the attitude that they had against Dublin? Can they bring that to the table? Because Tip are slightly wounded. There will be a bounce in them, but will they have the edge of the Waterford teams and the fitness? I don't know. I do think they'll come with more, but there was a lack of drive against Limerick out of those Tip players that I have never seen, and particularly the Mars at the back line. Now, he's come out after the party, he was injured and stuff like that, but he's had a fart and now to get himself right. What I was surprised with was when they got the goal and brought it to 6 points, they had the monsoon. But it was Limerick took off. Like, Tipperary had every opportunity, that's it, but they had nothing in the locker. They didn't fight for it at all. And that is the biggest... I've never seen a Liam Sheedy team probably to lie down the way they did that day. There's huge question marks, I think, Anthony, over both teams going into it to the weekend. Whether Tip will actually come with that fight that's required, can Cork back up the performance? They are the two biggest questions. We don't have the answers at the moment, Dale.
Yeah, every game is fascinating in the hurling this weekend. I mean, you couldn't ask for it. You couldn't write away for it. But TJ, if you're a Tip supporter like Larry now there, are you worried about that lack of pace in defence? Like, and we saw Robbie O'Flynn. Jesus, lads, he should be running fucking 200 metres in the Olympics. The speed of him, like... I think he was running at Jake Malone. That ball he took off with for the point. My God, Jake Malone isn't slow. I can guarantee you that, lads. And like it looked, Paddy carrying an injury. Brendan was kind of behind Tom Morrissey quite a bit. The inside line uncertainty.
You have to be under kilo tendons or north of 30. I suppose that's also a factor. I was going to sit in the fence here. For a second, can we kick to Larry and get some team news from Tip as to what kind of a team we're looking like to get?
Come on, Larry.
No team news, lads, but we're extremely worried. Like, that's the it's all doom and gloom talk.
Jesus, Brian Hogan has gone off the air, Larry. Will you come on?
It's all end of an era stuff, like, and that's before we even deal with the rise of Corkness. Like, so I mean, the whole thing is I don't know. There's I don't think Bonner is going to make it.
Are you concentrating on the football this year, Larry?
Yeah. maybe will John Maher go back? He might be regretting it already now. John Maher might come in, maybe, will he? Is Paddy Maher going to be fit? We're not sure.
I suppose they're all the key questions there. In that half hour line for Tip, the last, it didn't really work. There was points in the second half, Dale, where one or two scores for Tip could have tipped it and put a bit of pressure on Limerick. Limerick got that Hegarty penalty there at the right time. Like, if Mark Hewell put that ball over the bar, they needed everything. They played into Limerick's hands definitely in the second half by lumping ball along, and Limerick just mopped them up and the game kicked into gear. But they were disappointing. Now, beforehand, we had heard Tip hadn't played that many challenge games. They played Antrim and Offaly, I think, and stuff like that. Was Sheedy always gearing for this? They're still 4 games away from like winning on Ireland back-to-back. I expected a big performance. I think the key thing for me in this game is going to come down to there's goals in the Tip forward line. And can the Cork backs keep them out? I think if Cork concede no goal, they'll win.
Call it, lads.
To me, Dale, if the Cork team that turned up against Dublin turn up and with an extra bit of an extra 5 or 10%, I think they'll win it.
Did you?
But if the team that turned up against Waterford,
I just don't see the Cork backline keeping out the Tip. I think Tip will get goals, and I'm going to go with Tip.
Yeah, if it was on Ballon Parky, Keeve, and I outside it, there's no home advantage really now with no crowds. I'd go for Cork nearly in this one, but I think the Gaelic grounds might swing it for Tip. I just think it's going to be heavy. I think I there's so much rain, lads, and it's natural, and time of the year, the water table is up, and I just think... So look, we look at lads, we're looking forward to intriguing stuff the weekend. I see you're all improving a bit there, lads, on the fantasy hurling. Fair play, you're pulling, and he's gone off the line now. So lockdown Gales is bottom of the table there. Mark, you're off the bottom. Like.
I'm off the bottom, kid. I thought you, if you waited long enough, I'd start to suffer, like, you know.
Yeah, you're up to 477 points. It's a long way from the Temple Derry Kenyans on 638.
Well, you see, the Temple Derry man always after losing Donald Buck, like the Springer in the market at the start of the season. So he's a big loss.
Yeah.
No more handy pints, Dale, coming there.
You know, two things in the fantasy hurling. First of all, a shout out to Evan O'Connor there and Gary Spillane, who was leading the junior side up to last weekend. Another story is there now. So he was flying. He obviously knows he's hurling
and
very
and just
well.
Before you go on there, TJ, we're going to get a, I just appealing there to Butler Hurleys, who have given us the prize for our own one. Would they throw maybe two Hurleys in the slitter for the junior?
Yes.
For the junior award. I think be yes, a nice touch off you lads if you listen.
Yeah, but Evan was going very well. For me personally, this weekend, I need Clare and Cork to go well. I kind of changed a couple of things. Shane O'Donnell was the one who kind of left me down last week for Clare. I didn't know they were going to play him in goals. seven points. But a couple of others, Hoggy, Shane Kingston, I need a couple of those guys to go well. So yeah, Clare and Cork win for me this weekend would be great for my fantasy team.
Well, I'm in exactly the same boat, TJ. I have three Clare and three Cork.
Yes, oh
so I'll tell you, Mr. Landers, before he ever sells the horse today, will be passing us out if the two of them are beaten. Anyway, with the changes he made.
Yeah. And after Mark sells the horse there shortly, right, for the people and the racing fans out there, he's going to try and buy number 8 for me in the lot today. It's a horse that you're going to hear a lot of down the road. A horse called John Bond. He's a full brother to Duvan. So Mark's going to have a go at buying him for the podcast team today. So just watch this space.
$750,000, I believe, Tate.
Well, that's we're in lot 6. The horse's name is Great Heart Jack, named after Jack Charlton and the heart that he put into the Irish supporters and the team. So he produced a business last Saturday in his Rona, ridden by Jamie Codd. And we'll be watching both their futures, TJ, both John Bann and Great, because we're lot 6 and John Bann is lot 8. And I said to the owners of John Bann last, I said, look, we're just clearing the way for you, like, you know. We'll take a small few quid to keep the expenses paid, Dela. That's all we want.
Yeah, you got the horse for nothing, then you're going to get a triple 1,000 figure sum now anyway. So that's all right, too. Like, geez, you're fair, Jenny, with the horses, like, I tell you that.
Dela, you know my farm, but you've got to speculate to accumulate, like, you know, and
yeah.
The Murty gang, we might be able to weasel the Murty gang back out of hibernation, would we? You're not afraid of the four-legged friend?
No, he's dead, Mark.
Well, what about the old syndicate?
But he was
resurrected
Mark,
syndicate.
Do you know the one thing with him, though? He was never beaten. No dog ever passed him. Well, a couple passed him out, but he passed him out again.
Well, there's a touch of the Brian Fenton.
We met that heel and
he's the Brian Fenton.
Oh, well, look, yeah.
Is that the cry for the Clare boys the weekend? That even if you get passed out, stick with the plan, go at it, and pass him again going down the home stretch, eh?
Yeah, well, get out your little dish and paint. Get the war paint ready, TJ. And put it on slowly Sunday morning on your cheeks and your forehead, or Saturday morning, and bring it to Port Leash with you. That's my cry out to the boys now. If Landers one worked for the Dublin game, so I'm going to give it as well. I hope you're listening, lads out there. Tony needs help. Give it to him. Lads, quick last shout out before we go. He doesn't name himself, Larry, but I presume you know who it is. But top of our listeners' leader is Hurler on the Ditch. From Nina, Erog Nina. So I'm a follower of his on Twitter. He's not afraid to give a strong opinion there. Fair play to him. He's third on the overall, lads, and we want a winner of the overall to come from the Examiner pod listeners. So we'll have to do a Zoom with all our contestants, Larry, and give them tips on their transfers going forward. Obviously, if Clare and Cork lose it the weekend, myself and TJ won't be involved in that Zoom. But you can do it, Larry. You're king at the castle.
I could be in trouble this weekend as well, I think. I had all my eggs in the Clare basket last week. And maybe Shane will bag a few goals for us this weekend.
I'll tell you. And like, that's the one thing. If Clare do win, O'Donnell will probably have to, you know. Yes, and yeah. I mean, in fairness to Enda Rowland, lads, he's a great goalie, the Leash goalie, isn't he? And that was a brilliant save from O'Donnell, like the 1-on-1.
Brilliant. Yeah.
How quickly he was off his line and, you know, blocked it with his hurley as well. Like, you know, you see so many goalies coming after line blocking with the bodies. And, you know, so look, what a weekend, lads. And I think, Larry, we're back in the prime slot on Monday, are we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez. Now that Kerry are gone out of the football, I suppose, the gaffer. I won't say anything. I guess to get the road.
You'll have to cover the Munster final, all right, I think. Yeah.
You're wearing green and white in the Munster final, Larry.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Bloody Sunday.
Nice touch. Aye. Nice touch. Commemorating the Bloody Sunday atrocity. And yeah, just even last night, I think it's Monday, 100 years when the Thames shot. And Jesus, I'm gone off the rails here this morning. The Thames shot the four youths in Killaloe, the Scariff Martyrs, on the bridge in Killaloe without clergy, judge, or jury. So they can't have the 100-year commemoration like they wanted to. It was going to be a mega day in Killaloe on Monday and in Scariff, but it obviously with the lockdown, can't be helpful. Just always think of those, a famous song, the Scariff Martyrs. So hopefully Ireland won't get beaten by England tonight in soccer. Anyway, we leave it at that.
There's the rock.
You can do Stephen Kenny's speech from as well there, Dale, while you're at it.
I tell you, Stephen, get tuned in there. Get this up by 2 o'clock, Larry, and we'll get it over to the lads. Mark, can always bring the horse home again now.
Dale, if he doesn't sell today, we'll be giving a shout out to the podcast listeners. Set up the syndicate. We'll syndicate her, all right. No problem at all. We'll be looking forward for a day out in Leopardstown or Punchestown or maybe even Clanmel.
Well, I tell you, the way things are moving with the fantasy and the followers buying in, I think we could be onto something there, or syndicate for us. I think we might start with an old greyhound, old track greyhound, TJ. Be good. And enjoy the weekend if you get a chance. TJ has told you, first 10, TJ, is it, Shane Lowry?
First 10, 50 to 1. Yeah, 50 odds. So 10 to 1 to be in the first 10. I think his form over the last 2 months is geared for this. I think he's going to, listen to Bryson last night. He's going to try and drive every par five, right? Lowry will kind of be just nice and safe. Yeah, he'll be in the hunt. He's playing with Tiger today. It'll suit him. His game will be up. 50 to 1. You heard it here.
Jeez, all the hurlers are gone to 32 inch hurlies, and Bryson is going to have 48 inch driver. Huh? The world has gone mad. All right, lads.
With Renault, official car partner of the GAA, taking the passion of a nation to a whole new gear.